The Gary Knoll Show, weekdays at noon Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's The Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
I'm Gary Knoll. Nice to have you with us today. Lots of positive information to share about our health. A special in-depth look at how we can help millions of Americans who suffer from an excess of 5-LOX. Well, what's 5-LOX? It's called lipogenase. And when it's elevated, you've got problems. And a special report from Judith Sherman on that. Then I'm going to share the latest on a hidden epidemic of crippling, painful neurological adverse effects from something commonly consumed on a regular basis. And then diabetes, you don't want it, or prediabetes, because it can speed up the aging of the brain. I'll get to all that. And what we can do to reverse that, and how we can turn off pro-inflammatory responses in our body. No guest today, so I can spend more time in feedback on the how we have become a box store nation. The Walmartization of American redux, how the relentless drive for cheap stuff undermines our economy, bankrupts our soul, and pillages the planet, by John Hutchison from CommonDreams.com. I'll also be sharing the latest on the environment. I have a lot of environmental information to share with you. And then some new information about smart meters. Have you heard of them? They're being installed. You wouldn't know it, though. And those people who said no to these smart meters because they got evidence these smart meters could cause radiation and could monitor you anywhere in your house. In effect, they're one more way that the government and private industry is using the newest technology to collect data on Americans. What happened when a group in California removed their smart meters, sent them back to Southern Cal Edison, and the police showed up armed, trespassed, and reinstalled the smart meters? What happened out in Utah or Idaho? So we're going to give you the latest on smart meters coming to your house, and with it, big government able to spy on you. So as you see, we have a lot of information, and we choose our information very carefully. We have meetings to go over what are the most important issues now and in the future. We look at the best scholarship, the best science, the best spokespersons for a particular issue, and then we build on that. For example, on the program on the Progressive Commentary Hour, which, by the way, has become the most downloaded program in radio in the United States, at 7 p.m. tonight, we're going to take a look at the real aftermath of the Iraq War. Has the U.S. birthed liberation or a rogue nation for the Middle East? A look at the consequences of America's invasion of Iraq, the cost of human life, the infrastructure of the environment, and the role the war has played in raising Iran as a major power in the Middle East. My guests will include John Pfeffer, who is co-director of Foreign Policy and Focus in the Institute for Policy Studies, and he is also a former associate editor of the World Policy Journal, and we're going to have him along with Robert Perry, one of the leading progressive investigative journalists, best known for his uncovering of the Iran-Contra story and Oliver North's involvement, which earned him the George Polk Award for National Investigative Reporting. And he currently writes for Consortium. And we'll have others as well. And that will be a powerful hour. Last evening, I took a moment to watch Geraldo Rivera for Fox congratulating the general and a sergeant major and another person about our role in Iraq. Not once was there any insight. Not once was there any irony of what we had done to the Iraqis, and we're going to talk about that, the truth of what happened in Iraq and going behind the scenes to show you the real legacy we have left, and also the fact that we haven't left, and the lies that because our military personnel is out of Iraq, somehow we have engaged in a peaceful process. We have not. We've replaced every one of the military people with private contractors. Same weapons. We're paying them a lot more, but we haven't done anything except smoke and mirrors. We'll talk about that in depth on that program. So we're trying to bring you the information that can make a difference. Now let's begin. When I counsel individuals, one of the first things I ask is, have you had any studies done, any simple, inexpensive blood tests that show the inflammatory responses in your body? And they say, what does that mean? Well, your liver produces a number of inflammatory agents that tells us whether, if they're elevated, you're at more risk for heart attack, stroke, or cancers, like C-reactive protein, homocysteine, fibrinogen, LDL cholesterol. Now, if those are elevated, that's bad, but then at least we know how to bring them down, and that's good. And these are not that difficult to bring down. Generally, in anywhere up to a month, we can bring those down into a safe level. But most people are not aware of what actually happens in the body. We're used to doing things in a macro, unconscious way. I'm hungry. I want to eat something. Are you looking at what you're eating or drinking and asking yourself, what is the likely outcome in my biochemistry? We don't think of that. We just think, I want what I want. If it's crunchy and salty or sweet and salt, that's what I want. And then we think the consequences, well, if they don't happen immediately, good, then nothing bad has happened. Wrong. Every single choice we make in life has a consequence. Every single one. Now, that brings us to the idea that heart disease and cancer and diabetes and arthritis, in fact, seven of the leading deadly diseases in the United States are linked to a single enzyme, and it is called 5-lipoxygenase, or let's abbreviate it 5-LOX, L-O-X. Now, when that is elevated, you have inflammation in the body. Now, the same systemic inflammation triggered by 5-LOX once defended early humans against exposure to infectious disease. And with these diseases now largely eradicated, because 90% of the reasons people are dying today is not because of, let's say, an infectious disease, but rather lifestyle. Now we have a different pro-inflammatory action. It's lethal. Now, long known to researchers for its role in arthritis, the pharmaceutical companies were very successful with creating drugs that diffuse 5-LOX. But the few 5-LOX inhibitors currently available are all unsafe. Let's just take an example. What was the worst of these? And one of the worst of these was Vioxx. It was a COX-2 inhibitor, but it also was supposed to turn off the 5-LOX, and it caused 60,000 deaths of heart attack and stroke and 150,000 heart attacks and strokes, and no one followed up to see how many of those people subsequently died. The good news is that a superior form of 5-LOX inhibitors have been developed. Now, I'll make it real simple because a lot of people are on limited budgets, and I don't want to offer something that people can't afford. So first the problem. How do we end up with this 5-lipoxygenase arachidonic acid? When you have the amount of arachidonic acid in the body, that triggers this. So to remove arachidonic acid, the body increases production of the enzymes like 5-LOX, and when it's elevated, you end up with a degradation of arachidonic acid, results in the constellation of age-related disorders. Meat in any form. Your animal proteins are what provide arachidonic acid. So when you get rid of the meat products, you're also getting rid of the arachidonic acid. Therefore, you're not going to have an excess of 5-LOX, which can kill millions of Americans and cause inflammation, and that's why you don't need the medications. So here is what I would suggest. Now, there are many things that can do it. But if I start giving too many things, then people will say, would you, as I can't afford all that. Well, first, the problem. When you eat eggs, red meat, poultry, dairy products, and especially organ meats, you are creating arachidonic acid in the body. That increased the production of 5-lipoxygenase, or 5-LOX. And that facilitates the prostaglandins, and that in turn can cause all kinds of problems. It interferes with all kinds of biochemical processes. Now, let's just say that you call yourself a vegetarian or vegan because you don't want to, for some reason, eat animal proteins, but you eat carbohydrates. When you eat carbohydrates like French fries, bread, bagels, donuts, you're consuming arachidonic acid precursors and stimulating foods like the omega-6 fatty acids that are high glycemic carbohydrates, meaning high sugar foods. That in turn creates excess arachidonic acid. So you could be an unhealthy vegetarian eating pizzas and still create the same arachidonic acid that creates the additional 5-lipoxygenase, and then that gives you an excess accumulation of what is called interleukin B4. That's a pro-inflammatory compound that attacks the joints, the arterial walls, and the other tissues. That can really play havoc with things such as arthritis and fibromyalgia. So that's the problem. And then that in turn leads to, once you have these pro-inflammatory molecules called leukotrienes, and there are thousands of articles in the scientific literature that connect leukotrienes to cardiovascular disease, cancer, arthritis, asthma, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, Alzheimer's, inflammatory bowel disease, osteoporosis, you name it. So when someone says, Gary, why are you telling us we can't have fried foods and animal proteins and dairy and gluten and caffeine and sugar and artificial sweeteners and soft drinks? It's because these create the leukotrienes, the prostaglandin E1, the biochemicals that lead to an elevation of 5-LOX enzymes, and that then causes death. Want to know how bad it is? This year, 620,000 Americans will die of heart disease, 560,000 from cancer, chronic lower respiratory disease like asthma, 127,000, Alzheimer's 75,000, diabetes 75,000, kidney disease almost 50,000. So you've got about 1,500,000 people who will die this year directly because of 5-lipoxygenase-associated deaths. So it's serious. Now, with all the 30 different things I know that can help this, that I would give people if they were getting a specific protocol from me, what can I do that's simple? Okay, let's start with the basics. You get rid of what causes this, and then you take at the top of the list something that's inexpensive and powerful. So today I'm going to give you one. I'll be adding into this. Let's start with Boswellia, B-O-S-W-E-L-L-I-A, Boswellia. What is it? You have leaves. They come from a fragrant leaf. It's a tree, and it's known as an aromatic. But it also has powerful medicinals, and it reduces fever and rheumatism and gastrointestinal disorders. Now, all the research from the peer-reviewed literature shows that Boswellia has medical relevance with the discovery of what is called boswellic acid, one of the particular AKBA, or 3-acetyl-11-keto-beta-boswellic acid, was shown to bind directly to 5-LOX enzyme in our bodies, preventing it from facilitating production of pro-inflammatory leukotrienes. Subsequent animal experiments confirmed that Boswellia extracts exert a powerful anti-inflammatory effect, helping joint swelling go down, arthritis So Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, anyone with asthma or ulcerative colitis, I've been able to help them very quickly by using a few of these. But this is the top of the list. So that's what I would suggest. All right, that's one way to get started, to turn off something that is the major killer. I mean, you're talking about the number one killer, the number one killer in America. Wouldn't you think that the Surgeon General, the U.S. Public Health Service, that some medical doctor somewhere, someone, someplace would stand up and say, we know what's killing the most Americans. It's this enzyme. Not a word. It's just amazing to me. Not a word. So, for arthritis, Alzheimer's, asthma, cancer, heart disease, kidney disease, we can do something positive. And by the way, in vascular tissue, Boswellia extract exerts multiple complementary effects. It possesses powerful free radical quenching effects, and it actually lowers total cholesterol by up to almost 50%. And it helps to boost the artery-cleansing high-density lipoproteins by as much as 30%. And it inhibits the 5-LOX, another inflammatory, which is generating intense interest. So, and it protects your neurons. It protects your brains. The constituents of the resin from the Boswellia species has been shown to be a potent stimulator of brain receptor systems called TRPV3 that lowers anxiety and exerts antidepressant-like effects. And the major component of Boswellia is called insulinol acetate, and it's a very strong inflammatory inhibitor, and that's what helps protect your brain. And this insulinol or solol acetate inhibits the degeneration of the brain cells in the hippocampus, the region of the brain that where memory is stored. So, and it also helps as a chemo preventative. So a lot of reasons why we should be looking at this. Now, there are 29 other things that can help us, but let's just start with one, because I can't tell you how many times after I mentioned a group of nutrients, people can't say, I didn't write it all down, I didn't know what, too much money, I can't afford all that. So, all right, fine. We'll take it one at a time, and I put the best at the top of the list. So you're getting the best thing that can make a difference. Now, exposing the hidden epidemic of crippling, painful neurological adverse effects of antibiotics. The adverse reactions from a certain species or a specific class of antibiotics resembles the crippling adverse reactions of the vaccine injured. But according to P.F. Lewis of Natural News, quote, there is much less notoriety among these agonized and debilitated victims. And it goes on to talk about most antibiotic victims are adults with no one to look after them, unlike unfortunate autistic or paralyzed vaccine-injured kids who have parents dedicated to taking care of them. Thanks to social networking and internet forums, these victims have some support. Unfortunately, most of them are locked into the medical system of harmful drugs and brain-wasting medicine. Their complaints are often disregarded as delusionary, or they're misdiagnosed for rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, MS, and that's because their symptoms are similar, or worse, they often suffer from the constant pain of extreme neuropathy. Very few adverse event reports make it to the FDA's adverse event reporting system. It's estimated by even the FDA that less than 10% of actual adverse events make it into this system. It's not advertised to patients as the complaint department of choice, and doctors tend to be adverse to reporting adverse events from drugs they've personally prescribed. And then it talks about the most troubling antibiotics. And when you're taking antibiotics, just understand you can have side effects. And when you have side effects, you won't always know that what you're suffering from is a side effect of the antibiotic. Now, in my opinion, the worst antibiotic, Cipro. And then right behind that would be Avlox and Tequin and Levaquin. And the black box is the FDA's most severe warning. But it goes only to whoever's prescribing the drug. It's up to physicians and pharmacists to sound the alarm for their patients. But how do you know that you're being treated for an antibiotic where it's specific to the bacteria that's been measured in your body. That rarely is the case. I know doctors that give prescriptions for the flu or a cold. Well, that's viral. That has absolutely no beneficial effect. And as a result, actually hurts the person. So you can end up here, the most crippling problems, motor skill abilities, dizziness, difficulty thinking, tinnitus, chronic insomnia, depression, and anxiety. And worst of all, neuropathy. That's that tingling, twitching, and numbness. All because the side effects of antibiotics. So what can we do about it? What's the good news here? Start looking at alpha-lipoic acid. With the B-complex, it can do wonders for helping people who have been victimized by antibiotics. It can make a difference. I'm Gary Knoll. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. To our issue of the day, and then we will ask you to call in and share your points of view. This is from John Atchison from commondreams.org. And it's about how we have become a Walmart nation. Quote, how the relentless strive for cheap stuff undermines our economy, bankrupts our soul, and pillages the planet. And I'll quote this. It's not long, but I thought it was very, very insightful. If you want to know why the middle class disappeared and where they went, look no further than your local Walmart. People walked in for the low prices and walked out with a pile of cheap stuff. But in a figurative sense, they left their wages, jobs, and dignity on the cutting room floor of the house of cheap. Welcome to the logical endpoint of Reaganomics. Welcome to Ayn Rand's nightmare vision of morality, where we know the price of everything and the value of nothing. Where predatory behavior is celebrated and the notion of community is blasphemy. In his excellent documentary, Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, Robert Greenwald carefully documents how Walmart's giant box stores lower wages across the entire retail sector, impose high social and economic costs on the states and communities in which they operate, and destroy local businesses. Yet the low prices, which come at a very high cost, are irresistible to American consumers. Walmart has virtually cornered the retail market and amassed astounding wealth in the process. But it's not just Walmart. Big box stores now rule across the board in the U.S. retail economy in everything from electronics to pet supplies. And it's not just retail. The entire U.S. economy is now organized around the notion that getting us cheap stuff, the more the better, is the sine qua non of economic policy. There was a time when corporations understood that paying their employees a living wage had economic and societal benefits. Henry Ford famously said he wanted his employees to be able to afford to buy the cars they made and launch six decades of prosperity. The labor movement helped create a social and economic compact in which workers shared the wealth they generated. When workers had enough money to consume, they stimulated economic growth. When production was as important as consumption, the economy flourished. The common worker had dignity, and the means of production were valued. But that compact has been sacrificed at the altar of the cheap. We no longer produce, we merely consume. our main economic activity has become the ceaseless churning and manipulating of the vast capital the old system produced. No value is added. Some is skimmed off by the uber-rich with each churning. It's a colossal, self-limiting Ponzi scheme. The rich and the corporations have no allegiance to the U.S. or its workers, and so they take the fruits of their skimming and either sit on it or invest it overseas where the cheapest goods can be made. Job creators? Sure, but not good jobs, and not here. When they're skimmed all they can from the U.S. consumer, they'll focus on the emerging middle class in China, India, and elsewhere, leaving us to sit among the decaying debris of cheap stuff we can no longer afford, searching in vain for the happiness we thought we were buying. It's a spirit to the bottom, meaning we run at sprint level to get our utopia, but it's not there. Lower wages, dangerous working conditions, more pollution, greater liquidation of natural capital, more global warming, and less happiness. Globalization, the handmaiden of cheap at all cost, is celebrated as a solution, when indeed it is the problem. And even astute economists seem unable to realize that when another country's comparative advantage is based on environmental crimes, low pay, and inhumane conditions, then comparative advantages don't operate the way it's presented in textbooks and abstract economic models. Globalization has enabled corporations to leave the old economic compact based on equality, shared wealth behind. For example, in the U.S., CEO pay is once again soaring, while the average wage earner hasn't kept up with inflation. Just as Walmart has driven down wages throughout the retail sector, the doctrine of cheap has driven down wages for the developed nations, and it will cap them at unjust levels in the developing world. And the dirty little secret hiding behind the globalization facade is the devastating effect it is having on the environment. For example, this week Beijing suffered from air pollution so severe that the airport was shut down. It's easy to ignore this kind of environmental insult when it's over there, but the carbon and soot and filth generated in China ultimately reaches us. At the scale of human economic activity we've reached, we suffer the environmental consequences of our purchases, no matter how cheaply or how far away they are made. In a world where humans have become a global force of nature, there is here. Climate change is Exhibit A on how insults to our commons affect us all. But the dirtiest little secret of all is that we, the 99%, enable this race to the bottom. Our addiction to cheap stuff, our desire for more and more and more, is the fuel that feeds this destructive Ponzi scheme. But there's good news here, too. If we are the enablers of the Walmart of America, we have the power to change course. How? We are the marketplace, and we decide who wins and who loses by where we park our money, what we invest in, what we choose to buy, and who we choose to buy it from. Think about it. We purchase about $80 billion worth of stuff a day, not including what we spend on our homes, cars, and normal household bills. We hold a total of $17 trillion in our retirement funds, the single biggest source of money that big banks, Wall Street, and fat cats and assorted other speculators use to play their very own version of high-risk Texas hold-on. The real power in our economy and political system resides with us, the 99%, if we have but the wit, wisdom, and courage to seize it. So forget Wall Street. Let's occupy the whole damn marketplace. Let's vote with our dollars and our values. That's an election that we can win. Your thoughts, please. 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Like to hear from you now. And while you're gearing up here, one quick thing from our environmental section, and then we're going to go to calls. And this is about the ongoing melting of the glacier ice and what it means to us. This is from Stephen O'Connor, and it says, shock as retreat of Arctic ice releases deadly greenhouse gas. Russian team astonished at finding fountains of methane bubbling to the surface. Dramatic, quote, and unprecedented plumes of methane, a greenhouse gas 20 times more potent than carbon dioxide, have been seen bubbling to the surface of the Arctic Ocean by scientists undertaking an extensive survey of the region. The scale and volume of the methane release has astonished the head of the Russian research team, who has been surveying the seabed of the eastern Siberian Arctic shelf off northern Russia for nearly 20 years. In an exclusive interview with The Independent, Igor Simolotov of the Far Eastern branch of the Russian Academy of Sciences said that he has never before witnessed the scale and force of the methane being released from beneath the Arctic seabed. Quote, earlier we found torch-like structures like this, but they were only tens of meters in diameter. This is the first time that we have found continuous, powerful, and impressive seeping structures more than 1,000 meters in diameter. It's amazing. I was most impressed by the sheer scale and high density of the plumes. Only a relatively small area, we found more than 100. But over a wider area, there should be thousands of them. Now, what does this mean in lay language? It means that in more than 10,000 square miles, they have more than 100 of these gigantic fountains bubbling through water columns and injecting directly into the atmosphere from the seabed methane. And that means global warming, when it starts to release the methane that's been locked for 30,000 years under the sea and the permafrost, it means that the environment will become untenable in the next few years. I'm not talking about 30 or 50 or 100. I'm talking about the next 5 years. And if you wonder how much this cost us, this is from the Wichita Eagle, Stan Finger, 2011, sets record for billion-dollar disasters. Quote, a year that has rewritten many records linked to violent weather has added another record. The most individual billion-dollar disasters in American history. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration last week added two more billion-dollar disasters to this list, bringing the total this year to 12 separate disasters, each costing in the multiple billions. That's just this year. Total, $52 billion. And that is going to be the low end of it. So we're in a lot of problems here, and we better take an honest look at it. But there's still only 50% of the American public who even believe global warming is real, let alone choosing to do anything about it. Jonathan from Brooklyn. Hi, Jonathan. You're on.
Gary. Hello?
Hi, Jonathan.
Yeah, I just want to talk about how we can take back power.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, hold on. Let me turn my radio down. Okay, I want to talk about Ron Paul.
Sure.
Yeah, well, everybody wants us to believe that, you know, Ron Paul can win, but actually he can. And if we just start getting organized right now, especially the people in the Democratic Party who don't have any primaries at this point. So I think if a lot of Democrats, you know, switch the registration to Republican and vote in the Republican primaries, they can have a big effect in getting Paul as the Republican nominee.
All right. My thoughts on that is in the very near future, we may have a new person on the scene who we will be advocating will be the beginning of a new third-party candidate. It won't do us any good in this particular cycle. We have to look forward, meaning in any movement, you have to not look at what you can achieve today, but what you can establish, like Gene Sharp, the great mind who wrote From Dictatorship to Democracy. You have to look years out. For example, when you see the rioting in Egypt that happened this spring, that didn't start this spring. That was 4 or 5 years ago they were planning this, and the same in Tunisia. You have to look down the road. And what I said before, what I said clear back when Ralph Nader was running against Al Gore and then against Massachusetts, is you have to look at what you can do to establish principles of truth that educate people, empower people, and inform people, even if it's of a minority, that then can be built upon. So in the next election cycle, you're not starting from scratch. You're not looking between twiddly-dee and twiddly-doe. You're not looking between the defective corporate Democrat and the defective corporate Republican, and that's all you have. You do not have classical liberal Democrats any longer in power, and you do not have, with few exceptions, and you do not have the classical conservative Republicans out of the Eisenhower mold in power. You have the corporate Republican and Democrats as the principal arbiters of what is true, and then with them come the lobbyists with access. With that becomes the corporate power. With that becomes the Citizens United, that you can buy legislation, and hence they continue to consolidate power. You need a completely different person. Just this morning, I was talking with Richard Gale and Mitchell Rabin, and I said, if this person, who I know something about, if they agree to 30 points, and I am going to put this up on my web, I'm going to have him on the air, only when he signs a statement that he agrees to support these 30 points will we then advocate him as a true progressive. Now, this is a person that has green, constitutional, libertarian, humanistic principles. In other words, taking the best of each movement, the humanistic, the spiritual, of each movement, and putting them together, and such as no more globalization, no more corporate bailouts, no more subsidies for corporate America, single-payer health insurance, protection of the environment, and actively and aggressively pursuing green energy options, closing down nuclear, stopping gas hydrofracking, stopping militarization around the world. I mean, I have 30 points. If he can sign off of them, good. If he can't, no. So that you may hear about, depending upon what he agrees to from the Justice Party. If he agrees to that, then I believe that we have a basis to start. But you must be patient. It will not happen in a year. It will take about 3 years. First, Obama will be reelected because the goofball idiots who are the Republicans. I mean, if you went in, I can't imagine dumber human beings and reactive. I mean, just the knee-jerk, you know, reactions and supporting bombing Iran and supporting Israel, and everything they're doing is all wrong. And any person who of reason would see it, supporting the military-industrial complex. If you asked Michelle Bachmann of these people, would you rather take food out of the mouths of hungry American children and give it into the military corporate elite? They'd say, absolutely, because, you know, we have to protect it. And you're thinking, do you have not any common sense, no reason? Are you that culpable, or are you just brain dead? Do you think the average American would tolerate this insanity? In any case, kind of reminds me of Uganda in 2009, when they had the laws being passed where they had the American missionaries going over there and railing against gays in Uganda that had no gay issue at all, and yet they made it so vehement that every gay was being outed, put in the newspaper, and then the citizens were going to their homes and killing them, all with the support of the American evangelicals. And all with the support of the establishment. Did we actually cause any sanctions? Hillary Clinton made a statement. Obama made a statement. But did you follow through with anything? No, because then you knew how to sidestep the responsibility by saying, but we spoke about it, but did you do anything? The answer was no. Well, think of the kind of mindset, and that's your rabid, radical, over-the-top, out-of-control, completely psychotic and sociopathic mindset of these Republicans. If Ron Paul, who's the only one of those people who seems to have any grasp of some of what America needs, if he would be willing to cut off his contrarian stance on libertarianism and to implore some humanistic and spiritual values, which he seems to be completely lacking in, then the rest of his program at least is a starting point for what is there now. So if you took all the things that are important to us, meaning those who are independent, spiritual, humanistic, and progressive, we don't want war. We don't want a foreign policy based upon regime change or taking over. We don't want to see America's economy bankrupt by military-industrial spy state and our rights taken away, constitutional rights. We don't want to see our health care system taken over by the big pharma, big insurance, and for-profit corporations in the hospital business. Ron Paul supports all that, meaning he would get rid of all that. We don't want the Federal Reserve, a private banking system that makes a profit off of $26 trillion in deals they make. Remember, the Federal Reserve makes a commission off every single transaction. Do you ever hear anyone in government say, what is the amount of net profit these banks shared, these Federal Reserve banks shared with their stockholders? And who are these stockholders? Who are the principal stockholders? Never a word. So when they give $26 trillion, if their percentage was only 2%, you're giving the largest amount of profit in the history of America this year. And not a word said, not a word written. So get rid of the Federal Reserve. All right, so that's another thing he would do. So on at least six major points, freedom of choice in health care, good. Demilitarization of the world, outstanding. Stop corporate sponsorship of any of its subsidies. Great. Let the big banks and big corporations fail and go through structured bankruptcy. I agree with. And get rid of the Federal Reserve and have a single bank banking system under the Treasury. I agree with. So suddenly you've changed the way power can be used to benefit those one percenters, and you've challenged the foreign-dominated multi-kleptocrats who run our foreign policy by the militarization of foreign occupied lands. You've just shifted about $3 trillion a year away from the elites back into the national common treasury. If there's anyone else on the left or right who can say they would do the same, then let me know about them, because I'm pretty astute on these. I watch very carefully. He's the only one. But you will have an inherent bias on the left and the right because Ron Paul is not a corporatist. And that in makes him different. He should be running as an independent, and then he would break it. He would establish a new principle. Can he win? No. But he can establish things we should all focus on. And who were his original supporters? Young people. Isn't it amazing how hypocritical we are? On the one hand, we say, let's get the young involved, and Occupy Wall Street's a lot of young people. And there we say they're empowering to get involved in the political system and look at political issues. But when Ron Paul's young generation, an army of about 4 million young people, read the issues, want to do something, and engage in that, we suddenly call them brain dead zombies, and we make fun of them. And that's wrong. And shame on the left for doing that. Just as bias. And where are we going to go? Back to another era of Obama? Yeah. Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann, all of them are lining up right up behind Obama. You've got to turn off that switch, or we're not going to have any benefit. Hope that answers your question. Okay? Jonathan? And let's go into our studio and say hello to Richard Gale. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Gary. How are you?
Good.
Just going to make a quick announcement here because you have your Progressive Commentary Hour this evening at 7 p.m. And this is the opportunity when we devote a full hour to a specific topic and be able to go into much greater depth than we can over our noon broadcast. So for this evening, you're going to be looking at the aftermath of the Iraq War now that we are withdrawing our troops, and we'll raise the question that whether we have birthed a liberation or whether we have birthed a rogue nation within the Middle East. Looking at the effects of the effects on human life, the infrastructure, the environment of Iraq, and what kind of a withdrawal is this if we're just simply removing the U.S. military forces, but we are leaving the private security groups, the private contractors, which in many of these groups are really little more than mercenaries. And then also the question of the Iranian card. How has this entire debacle we've been in over in Iraq contributed to the empowerment of Iran as now a much more powerful and leading force in the Middle East? So we have among the guests that are going to be coming on is John Pfeffer, who's the co-director of the Foreign Policy and Focus section of the Institute of Policy Studies. He will be on, and also Robert Parry, who we've had on the program before, who is one of our leading progressive investigative journalists, who's best known for the uncovering of the Iran-Contra story and Oliver North's involvement, recipient of the George Polk Award for National Reporting, and who writes extensively on foreign affairs issues, including the Bush and Obama administrations and our overseas wars. Okay, so those are the two guests that we're going to have on. That's going to be this evening at 7 p.m., the Progressive Commentary Hour on the Progressive Radio Network, and looking at the aftermath of the Iraq War.
Good, thank you. And that's Richard Gale, our executive producer. And that's going to be a powerful program. And I can assure you it will not be like a Geraldo's big wet kiss to everything American in Iraq that happened last night. I was just embarrassed by that reporting that I saw. But it shouldn't surprise us. This is Fox News. What do we expect? Donald from New Jersey. Hi, Donald. You're on the air.
Hi, Gary. Thank you, Gary. Are you there?
I'm always here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Gary, it seems to me like going by the piece that you read before, like our new religion of the day is neoliberalism, globalism, capitalism, materialism. It's like the new religion of the day. This is where making money is pure. The highest ideal is to make money at any cost. That means killing people with products. Look only at the upside, I guess. Then that would be the profit. That means starving people by cutting social safety nets. Good, we save corporate tax write-offs. You know, to me, like this new religion, it strips our life from humanity. That's all, Gary.
I appreciate that, and you're absolutely correct. For those who don't see it coming, it's with us. And tomorrow I'll be doing a special commentary on this, the larger issue, and what it means when we give up our freedoms for security in all things. So I'll be taking on that issue tomorrow in our commentary section.
We're giving all that up, and like it's fascism. When the government works for corporations like this, all this tax dollars since 2001 that's gone to private companies, not even American companies.
That's correct.
You know, there's no open, there's no light on them, you know?
Do you know how many American corporations have closed down factories, actual factories, since 2000?
Cities have shut down over the past 30 years because of neoliberalism.
44,000.
Are we living Milton Friedman's dream, or is it to us a nightmare?
It's both. For everyone who is able to afford the debt, in other words, the ability to have enormous amounts of money given to them with no interest and no collateral, they can buy up anything they want. And with buying it up, they can buy lobbyists, they can buy political.
You go to the right school, and that's your horizon, I guess, is to run the show like that.
That's correct. And they're succeeding because we have been indifferent. Let me just share something on this.
Gary, the materialism, it became our consuming of these illogical things.
Hey, it's been that way for a long time. While you're at it, let me just share this. You know how we've been listening to this 1%, 99%? I want to challenge this. I'm really sick of it. And I feel it's an intellectual and ethical embarrassment that those on the left have subscribed to this without looking at what it really means. When you say 1%, 99%, you suddenly say that we on the 99% are sleeping with the angels, and those of the 1% are demonic, and are there the fault. They're responsible. Well, hello? Who sits by as our Constitution has been eviscerated by a government that spends $1.4 trillion to create an industrial spy complex that wiretaps its own citizens and militarizes the police? Who refuses to speak out against the usurious interest rates for up to 50% on student loans and credit cards? Who stands in solidarity with the millions of Americans who have had their homes foreclosed on because of systematic predatory lending practices? Who supported and allowed a 10-year illegal war which has resulted in the slaughter of over a million Iraqi men, women, and children, and the death and serious injury of thousands of American men and women? And who cares about the 4 million Iraqis who have lost their homes and have been displaced as a result of this conflict? Who continues to support the U.S. military engagement in countries like Afghanistan, Somalia, Uganda, Pakistan, and Yemen, and demanded that our legislators not refinance this war? Who continues to allow for the deployment of U.S. military in more than 140 countries across the globe? Who supported Nixon after Watergate? Who supported Clinton after NAFTA? Who never questioned Bill Clinton when he talked about economic sovereignty for the U.S. and other nations while undermining the unions in America? Who still refuses to question the Democrat and Republicans when we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that they are bought and paid for by special interests? Who challenges the fact that we are the fattest, sickest population on the face of the planet, and how, for the first time in history, the youngest generation being born now will not outlive their parents? Who supports putting fast food franchises into hospitals, giving people the opportunity to eat the food that caused them to end up in the first place in the hospital? Who supports the drugging of one out of every four children in the United States with toxic pharmaceutical drugs? Who buys from Walmart, Target, Whole Foods, and other big box stores that reap enormous profits for shareholders by putting local vendors out of business? Who purchases clothing from international conglomerates that depend upon slave labor in China and Bangladesh to manufacture clothing? Who supports the 20,000 plus corporations in this country with millions of employees that cause unmitigated pollution and environmental destruction in their daily business? Who watches those television programs like Jersey Shore and The Real Housewives that glorify the asinine, petty, hateful, and immoral? Who can be counted among the 0.1% of the American population that actually stood up and protested anything at all in the last 30 years? Now, when you take that into account, then maybe you better recalibrate that 99% on the side of right and 1% on the side of wrong, because I don't see that at all. Thank you very much for your call. In studio now is Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello, Gary. We have a letter from a gentleman who has responded to President Obama's National Defense Authorization Act. I'd like to read it, if it's okay.
Sure.
His name is Darrell Irving. He lives in New York. He's actually a musician, a classical musician, and a writer.
Oh, wait, before you do that, I did have one little announcement. Some of the people in this audience, and rightly so, are concerned about not receiving your premiums. We have done all that we reasonably can do to motivate in a positive way the station management to honor the premiums for the money they received. The problem is simple. The station receives money from premiums and then spends it on essential expenses, payroll and rent and utilities, and unfortunately in the budget does not budget for paying for the premiums. As a result, they don't have enough money. And it's my hope that they will understand you can't ask people to order something if you don't have the money to pay for it. And that's why people have not received all the premiums and are still waiting. We're doing all we can. I spoke with Arlene Engelhardt, the head of Pacifica. I spoke with Summer, the head of the board. I spoke with Berthold Reimers, the station manager, and I pleaded with him, please honor the audience. When you take a person's money, give them what you promised them. Put that into the budget. And until such time that the financial crisis changes or the way that the station does business changes, there will be this challenge. But I wanted people to understand that we've done all we can to get the station to honor its pledge. And hopefully that will sink in and it will resonate. I understand their predicament. I appreciate their predicament. But for those of us who also understand business models, they've got at some point had the courage to change how they're just doing business. Okay, back to you.
Okay, thank you. This is a letter, as I said. Here it is. Dear President Obama, I am utterly dismayed that the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, was passed by Congress this past week. This act that my two senators from New York voted for contained provisions that could authorize the indefinite detention of civilians, including American citizens, without charge or trial anywhere in the world. What is truly frightening about these provisions is that they provide that any American citizen can be plucked off the street and carted off to some remote prison under the dictate of the U.S. military. I repeat, the dictate of the U.S. military. This is appalling beyond measure. There is no question in any American's mind that when you abolish the Bill of Rights, which is what these provisions of the NDAA effectively do, you transform America overnight into a police state. By signing off on these NDAA provisions, you are effectively telling the whole world that the vaunted American values embodied in our Constitution are a charade. What freedom can there be in a military state where you don't have the right to habeas corpus or trial? When you announced that you would veto indefinite detention legislation, the American people understood that to mean that as the president of our country, you were going to rise up and stand tall and firm, a stalwart figure with a quiet inner strength who would uphold and defend our freedoms and values. That is why we are calling on you now to keep your promise and veto this despicable legislation that authorizes indefinite detention and trial of the right, and denial, rather, of the right to trial. You are surely aware that a large percentage of your base you have been a huge disappointment to as a president. For many of us, this will be your last chance to stand for the values you said you were committed to when you ran for election. If you do not veto the pertinent provisions of the NDAA, and you know which provisions I'm referring to, you will not only once again have failed your mandate, but you will have unequivocally betrayed it. If you follow through on this course, I will never vote for you again. You are, after all, a representative of your mandate, and if you fail that mandate, why should I vote for you? That's politics 101, I believe, Mr. President. I'm speaking of the politics that are going to evict you from the White House in 2012 if you do not immediately reverse course.
Okay, Elizabeth, let me interrupt you, because for many of our stations, we're coming up to the end. We will continue this conversation. I will respond to that and why Obama will be reelected because of the mindlessness, the robotic non-thinking that any Democrat is better than any Republican, and it never changes. We need an independent thought. We need to protect the vote by not voting Democrat or Republican, but independent. But it's too late on that. Obama betrayed his word twice. He allowed the gas line to go now from Canada to Texas, and he allowed that law to be passed. And now we have a pure, complete military situation. I'm going to be doing an in-depth discussion of this and comparing it to what happened in 1933 in Germany in a powerful commentary on tomorrow's program that you won't want to miss. So I will address this, but in an articulate and scholarly way, looking at the history of other countries that chose not to become aroused when their rights were usurped by language very similar to this, and then when power was taken away, how everyone was suddenly surprised and shocked. Well, don't be shocked by Obama. Obama has lied repeatedly and will continue to do so. But as long as he has a smile, as long as he has educated college women and African Americans, Latinos, and the base of the liberal class, he will get reelected. And that's unfortunate. That's reactive instead of reasoned projection on this man. And I'm asking people, withhold those reactive presumptions. Everyone wants to blame the Republicans on why Obama hasn't been the president that we know he could be. Obama has been the president that he could be, and he's been outstanding, but for the wrong people. So the person that keeps wanting him to be the right person, and if only, and even Robert Scheer and some others, Robert Reich came out last week, redeeming him, wanting to change the story on him, wanting to rewrite history on him. How blind are people? This is like a cult now. It's like trying to talk with someone who's in a cult. They're not listening. They're not seeing. And yet the truth is right in front of you. We're out of time on that. Thank you, Elizabeth, on that issue. We're continuing now on the Progressive Radio Network. So can Elizabeth, let us bring in Jason here for a moment. Hi, Jason. And we also have in studio Val. Hi, Val.
Hi, Gary.
Val, you're on.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Do you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to let the audience know a little bit about Progressive Radio Network, and that PRN is now the current leader in the world, offering more top-notch interviews featuring the world's leading experts than any other radio network out there. For instance, right now on PRN, we have Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, along with Harvard graduate Nancy Banks and Susan Humphreys, all speaking out about vaccines. And Dr. Humphreys emailed me this morning, and she wrote, "Holy smoke, Val, that video went viral. Almost 5,000 views so far. David Dr. Jorsky already ripped me to shreds, so I guess it's got the skeptics jumping. Cheers, Susan." So NPR PRN is now getting nearly 180,000 hits a week. So we just want to thank all of our listeners out there for tuning in, and please follow us daily for some of the most exciting, cutting-edge information you can find anywhere.
Now, what she is suggesting here, stating, is that not only do we have all these outstanding radio programs, but we are leading in the world for bringing you articles and documentaries and original video interviews. And she just mentioned three that we filmed, three women physicians, including Harvard and Johns Hopkins University, on vaccines alone. Today, we're adding in the Nobel Prize-winning interview I did with Dr. Kerry Mullis on why he is challenging everything about AIDS. No one has seen this before. It's an 18-minute interview. It's up. And in 2 days, we'll have an hour interview with Dr. Sartorius, one of the greatest minds in science in the world, challenging our medical system. That's going up. Later in the week, we'll have Richard Polonesky's edited version of what I did a couple weeks ago about homeless vets. This is just this week, and this is just my input. Then we have dozens of journalists, dozens of progressives putting articles up. We have dozens and dozens of original articles per day, every 24 hours. And ours are not like the Huffington Post and read the rest of these. These are hard-hitting, insightful, empowering, the same with the documentaries. So we become the leading place for people to go to download information that can help them and give them insights. And that's what she's referring to, and we're happy to do that. Thank you, Val. And Jason, your turn.
Oh, hey, Gary. I just came into just what Val was saying. Just tell everyone they can go to prn.fm. That's the easiest way to get to us. Plus, if they go to YouTube, which is Gary Null Television, Val was talking about those great videos that are up there. We have more than 300 videos up there getting hits daily, all current, up-to-date news. So please check it out. And also tonight, check you out at 7 p.m. We have a great show this evening that you already discussed.
Hey, it's going to be a powerful show. Our Monday night show takes a lot of producing, but we have a lot going into that. And I want to thank people for making it the most downloaded show in all of broadcasting. So we look forward to it. And there's a reason why over 350 million people have downloaded articles, information, and taken it to other sites from Progressive Radio. And not just Progressive Radio Network, but everything progressive, and we're still leading that. And we're finding out that most people are coming there because of the articles. And so they don't get registered under radio. They get you have to look under how many people, and we see it. Just how many brand new listeners just in the last 5 days came on board from this? Wasn't it 15,000?
That was just 15,000 from the other day, Gary. That wasn't even a week. Within a week, we're gaining people anywhere from 15,000 to 40,000 people, depending on the week, to be honest. So
new people. That's
new people.
There's no television station or radio network anywhere in America that are getting these numbers. So it is the place, if you care about the world we live in and to look at it objectively and honestly with solutions. We are sharing information, and it's really clicking. So thank you all for sharing the documentaries, the video clips, the articles with other people. It's all word of mouth, not a single article, not a single piece of PR. Just word of mouth is getting this information out, and I really appreciate you all doing your part. So when they say, oh, you don't have the money, you don't have the resources, you don't have the PR firm, we don't need it. We've got people sharing with one another. Responsible, reasonable people who see that the way things are not working, and doing more of the same won't change it. I'm Gary Null. We're out of time. Thank you all very much for listening and sharing. We'll be back tonight, 7 p.m. for the Progressive Radio Hour. Have a nice day, everyone.
The Gary Null Show is produced in our New York City studios. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matthew Bogart. Our chief archivist is Sharon Pride. And the program director is Jason Tavenfeld. Listening to PRN.FM.